Welcome back to a retrospective and background briefing's coverage of the Trump-Russia story. Let's now go to a broadcast from July the 11th of 2017. And joining us now is Asha Rangappa, who is the Associate Dean at Yale Law School, who teaches national security law and related courses at Wesleyan University, the Jackson Institute for Global Affairs at Yale University, and the University of New Haven. Previously, she served as a special agent at the Federal Bureau of Investigations, specializing in counterintelligence investigations in New York City. Welcome to Background Briefing, Asha Rangappa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Asha, what do you make of this email chain that clearly the New York Times got hold of, and then now Donald Trump Jr. himself has released the email chain, which, frankly, to my mind, is pretty damning. I mean, it looks to my mind that you could charge Donald Trump Jr. with acting with corrupt intent to violate the campaign finance laws. And unless Jared Kushner, the son-in-law, and Paul Manafort, the campaign director, were completely in the dark about the purpose of the meeting, they could also be charged with corrupt intent. Or at the very least, I would think that they should have contacted the FBI immediately, realizing that this was a sort of Russian intelligence fishing expedition.
Yeah, so you pointed out a lot of different angles there, problematic angles with this meeting. So, yes, I think the content of the emails that Donald Trump Jr. tweeted out today and then were reported by the Times definitely eliminate any plausible deniability that he has, that he didn't know that this meeting was being arranged with someone who was essentially officially representing the Russian government. And to that end, it definitely puts his knowledge and intent squarely on the table in terms of what he knew he was getting into, and that definitely implicates him in various election fraud statutes. The intelligence side is a little bit, he should have called the FBI regardless, but the intelligence side is a little bit harder of a case to make that he necessarily knew it was an intelligence operation. I mean, most people don't understand intelligence tradecraft and wouldn't know this is a dangle to see how I'm going to react to the government potentially approaching me with information. But obviously, there were red flags when he was told that the Russians were very interested in his father as a candidate, that they had damaging information, that they were sending someone to represent them to give that information. So all of these things, even if he didn't know that it was an intelligence operation or related to one, should have prompted him to call the FBI for sure.
Well, in an email on June the 7th, 2016, this intermediary between the pop singer and the Russian or Azerbaijani pop singer Emin and Rob Golser and his agent, who apparently had met Donald Trump earlier, and he had worked with them setting up the 2013 Miss Universe contest in Moscow. So this Rob Goldstone is this British tabloid journalist who, frankly, you couldn't find a better... If you wanted to go to Central Casting to find a sleazy yellow press tabloid journalist, you couldn't do better with this character, but I guess I'm assassinating his character as we speak. But nevertheless, he wrote to Donald Jr. on June the 7th, 2016, saying, "Hope all is well. Emin, this is the Azerbaijani pop singer whose father is a huge real estate developer in Moscow who's close to Putin. Emin asked that I schedule a meeting with you and the Russian government attorney who is flying over from Moscow for this Thursday. I believe you're aware of the meeting, so wondered if 3 p.m. or later on Thursday works for you. I assume it will be at your office. Best, Rob Goldstone." So there's no way in the world that, this is a Russian government attorney. And, of course, everybody's been saying, no, she's not. But I talked yesterday to Bill Browder, who was the biggest investor in Russia until he was kicked out. And his lawyer, Sergei Magnitsky, was murdered in Russian prison. And this lawyer was the one that was the leading Kremlin attack dog against him. And then she came over here to defend the Russian criminals who'd laundered the $230 million they'd stolen of the taxes that Bill Browder had paid to the Russian government, and that, which they laundered into Manhattan real estate, and she defended them. So what was she? A Russian government lawyer, do you think?
I mean, I just don't know enough about her background. What's important for purposes of what the U.S., you know, what Bob Mueller will look at and what the U.S. intelligence community cares about is that it was presented to Donald Trump Jr. that she was a government attorney working for the Russians. I don't know if the work that she did on the Magnitsky Act actually, you know, she was doing on behalf of the Russian government. But as far as Donald Trump Jr. knew, she was coming to as some sort of representative or agent of the Russian government. And to that end, that really speaks to what his knowledge and intent was in going to the meeting.
Well, there have been a lot of reports saying that the FBI, she was on the FBI's watch list, that she was considered. I don't know whether you call her an intelligence agent, but she was certainly somebody that the FBI had, you know, had flagged.
Well, yes, and in that case, this meeting would be of a special interest to them.
And again, I'm speaking with Asha Rangappa, who's an associate dean at Yale Law School, who teaches national security law and related courses at Wesleyan University, the Jackson Institute for Global Affairs at Yale University, and the University of New Haven. Previously, she served as a special agent at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, specializing in counterintelligence investigations in New York City. So, Asha, we don't know how the New York Times got hold of this email chain, but clearly it's forced Donald Trump Jr. to release it, and of course the president himself tweeted out praise for his son for being so upstanding and so transparent. But what's your overall interpretation of how much this email chain, you know, sort of digs the hole deeper? It certainly, it's brought back the Russian story. If Donald Trump wanted to get that off the headlines, it's come back to haunt him.
Yeah, the Russian story I don't think was ever going anywhere, but this has definitely made it front and center for a while now. I would disagree with you, Ian, that the New York Times story forced Donald Trump Jr. to release those emails. It's not clear to me why he did that. I don't know if at the time that he did that, he had a lawyer representing him, because I'm not really sure that even if the New York Times was about to report it, that it was in his interest. I mean, he just shouldn't have tweeted those things out, period. He shouldn't be tweeting, period. I mean, this appears to run in the family, you know. He needs to stop talking. He needs to stop tweeting. He needs to stop giving details about what, you know, happened at the meeting, because he's going to end up contradicting himself. So, you know, I think that at this point, his best bet would just be to do what Jared Kushner appears to be doing, which is just to stay off the radar. You know, I think he's also, Donald Trump Jr., happily offered to testify under oath to the Senate. Again, not a good idea if you're his defense attorney. So I think that he's definitely placed him, I mean, he's going to be under scrutiny. And, you know, is this email chain on its own enough to convict him of something? Probably not. It's definitely enough to suggest that there might have been a criminal violation of the election fraud statute. So I'm sure that Mueller will investigate that. And I think it definitely adds credence to the people who've been doubting, because we just haven't seen a lot of public information on the intelligence side of it, that the Russians were actively targeting and trying to recruit individuals to assist them in their operation to influence the election.
Well, it's my understanding, though, is that the New York Times notified Donald Jr. that they possessed his email chain from June of 2016.
They did. My understanding is that, too, that they reached out to him for comment. And my only point is, I don't think that that necessarily compelled him to release the emails. Right. I don't see what the advantage was to him to doing that, except to perhaps look as though he was being on the up and up or something. But,
well,
yeah.
His father, the president of the United States, said, "My son is a high-quality person, and I applaud his transparency." But let's then turn to, you mentioned the intelligence tradecraft term of a dangle. So
yes.
Describe to our audience how a dangle works. And, you know, I used to work on arms control in the former Soviet Union, and they just try to recruit you all the time. It's habitual. I mean, I don't know whether it's the same under Russia as it was under the Soviets, probably not as quite as zealous. But it was a routine that you would always be approached by somebody that was trying to recruit you to be either an asset or, as they say, a useful idiot.
Right. You know, so a dangle is exactly what it sounds like. It's putting a potential source or something that you might want in front of you and say, if you bite. So, you know, the Russians might dangle in front of U.S. intelligence someone who claims to have, you know, inside information on, you know, the Russian government. And, you know, if the FBI would take that, then, you know, they could start giving this information. So, you know, you're always very skeptical of these kinds of things. In fact, Robert Hansen, who's one of our worst spies in American history, walked into the Russian embassy three times offering to spy for them, and they thought he was a dangle and didn't believe him and so turned him away. So, you know, in intelligence circles, these things are often spotted and viewed with skepticism. But what the Russians would have been doing in this kind of situation is, you know, targeting people close to the campaign, which, you know, gives them access, and then assessing them to see what their vulnerabilities might be. So by putting something out like this, by saying, hey, we have damaging information, it's possessed by the Russian government, do you want it? They start to get a sense of how this person is going to react. Is the person enthusiastic? Are they suspicious? Do they call the FBI? Do they put them off? You know, they get a lot of information about the character and willingness and how easy it is going to be to recruit someone simply based on how they react to this kind of offer. And so Donald Trump Jr.'s reaction gave them a lot of information. These are people who are completely willing to potentially, you know, violate the law to basically to help their father, Donald Trump, win. And that's something that they could use in future, you know, offers or opportunities, because they can simply exploit that desire to help Trump win, that shared desire apparently, in order to get these people on board.
Well, the first approach, of course, from Rob Goldstone is pretty damning in the sense that what they're offering. Good morning, Emin, again, the Azerbaijanian pop star, just called to ask me to contact you with something very interesting. The Crown Prosecutor of Russia met with his father, Aris, this morning, and in their meeting offered to provide the Trump campaign with some official documents and information that would incriminate Hillary and her dealings with Russia and would be very useful to your father. This is obviously very high-level and sensitive information, but is part of Russia and its government's support for Mr. Trump, helped along by Aris, the father, the big developer, and Emin. What do you think is the best way to handle this information? Would we be able to speak to Emin about it directly? I can also send this info to your father via Rona, who I don't know who that is, but it is ultra sensitive, so wanted to send it to you first. So, you know, maybe Goldstone is trying to make it all very sort of tantalizing, but on the surface, that sounds like, I don't know, what does it sound to you? You dealt with traitors. I was going to use the word treason, but I that word has to be used advisedly. How would you characterize this dangle here?
So which part? The actual approach?
Yeah, just in general, what they're offering up seems coming from the very sort of heart of the Russian government, right? If the Crown Prosecutor of Russia is
right.
Anybody.
Right. I mean, what they're offering is very valuable information, but also tied to some red flags that this is from the Russian government. This is coming from, you know, you've been meeting with a government attorney. The Russian government is very interested in having your father win. So they've tied something that is incredibly desirable with certain things that for many reasonable people would cause them to say no or not respond or call the police. And so, again, they are able to gauge many things about what makes Donald Trump Jr. tick simply by how he responds to that particular offer, even with those red flags attached to it.
Well, just in closing, Asha, my understanding is that the FBI do a lot of stings in counterintelligence and counterterrorism, etc., and they've nailed a bunch of would-be terrorists. Maybe some of them have been pretty stupid, but they nevertheless have nailed them for planning terrorist attacks. So where's the threshold of the law, and what's the difference here between an FBI sting where you invite people to do something illegal and they take the bait? How would you compare that to this situation we're talking about with Donald Trump Jr.?
The difference is that this is a foreign government. So when the government does the criminal sting operation, they can, you know, create a certain situation. They can't actually prod someone to engage in the criminal activity. That's entrapment. You know, they have to let the person kind of make their choice and go down the path on their own. That's a criminal thing. I mean, I don't even see that there's really any meaningful comparison to this. This is a foreign intelligence, a foreign government, potentially using their intelligence service to recruit an American citizen to basically violate the integrity of our elections, period. So I don't think that there's really any comparison to be made with, you know, law enforcement sting operations there.
Well, what you've told us is bad enough, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate your time.
Okay, no problem. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you. And again, I've been speaking with Asha Rangappa, who is Associate Dean at Yale Law School, who teaches national security law and related courses at Wesleyan University, the Jackson Institute for Global Affairs at Yale University, and the University of New Haven. And previously, she served as a special agent at the Federal Bureau of Investigation, specializing in counterintelligence investigations in New York City. And that was from Background Briefing, July 11th broadcast. We'll take a brief break and then be back with more Background Briefing's Russia coverage from November the 26th, 2017, when we assessed the status of the Mueller investigation and presented a roadmap of the inquiry going forward.